and welcome to episode 199 D. 299 episode, and then we'll be live, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jim Pretzel. Not listen to episode 199C, please listen to it. I just recorded it. I just taped it. It's out. It's about Miguel Cotto and highlighting some of his fight from last night and just talking about the state of boxing in general. Doubleheader by the UFC. I won't get into every single breakdown of every single thing. I'll do the best that I can in 20 minutes or less. We do have a new UFC flyweight champion, Nico Montano. She defeated Roxanne Modafi, a fan favorite from the previous season of The Ultimate Fighter. And then she came back to the season of The Ultimate Fighter. And on Friday night, Nico Montano defeated Roxanne Morales. One judge had it 50-45, the other 49-46. A great fight. Roxanne would have been a great story if she would have came back. And the reason why she fought is that the other finalist, Sahara Eubanks, was hospitalized due to a weight cut. And as I mentioned before, this has got to stop. I told individuals, you know, people have died and individuals have been really ill. Because think about it, you're conditioning your body to not take in water, which needs water to survive for, you know, 24 hours or whatever the case may be. And a lot of individuals, it's just very difficult for them to come down. So hopefully now with these lower divisions and more weight classes, you don't have to just all squeeze into 115 or 135. Now you have the options to fight at 145 or 135 or 125 or 115 if you're a woman. So, you know, kudos to the UFC. Kudos to Dana White recognizing that, ladies and gentlemen. Her road was good. She beat Lauren Murphy, Montana Stewart, Barb Honchak, and of course Roxy. So what's next for her? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Hopefully Eubanks, when healthy, you know, she could always come back. They could always make that first big fight for the flyweight championship. Also, you heard rumblings of my favorite, Bullet Valentina Shevchenko. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Still, I think that would be a great fight. I know that's a very aggressive fight because you have someone who in some people's minds, defeated Amanda Nunes, and then for her to come down and destroy Nico, I don't know. Could I see a trilogy, a third fight between Amanda and Bullet? Absolutely. Well deserved. I don't know anyone else in the women's division. Amanda has got a fight. You know, she hasn't fought since then, but she's got to defend that championship. And we'll see what happens there. I could see happening is Bullet Valentina beating Nico Montano, let's say, and having a super fight, championing his champion. In the trilogy fight, Amanda Nunes 1-on-1 against Bullet Valentina, I could definitely see that happening, and it's marketing 1-on-1. It's what I would do if I was a promoter. It's what I would do if I was an MMA promoter. That's what I would do. Let's talk about the co-main event, Francis Ngannou. If you didn't know that name before, you'll know that name now. Francis Ngannou. His only loss was to Zumana Cisse via unanimous decision, which made him 1-1. But after that, went on an amazing tear and has not lost since. The man has not lost since. What an amazing uppercut knockout. Not a technical knockout. Uppercut knockout. Knockout by Francis. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. The man from Cameroon, French professional, is amazing. 6'5", 262, 83.5-inch reach, boxing, Sabate style, fights out of Las Vegas, Nevada, an MMA factory, 11 wins, 7 by knockout, 4 by submission, and that's the only one loss is by decision. Beat Overeem, Arlovski, Anthony Hamilton, Bojan Mihajlovic, Curtis Blades, Blavis, Luis Enrique, William Baluti, Nicholas Speck, Bilal Talahati. The first couple of names you won't recognize, but those first names that I read, you do recognize. And let's face it, the heavyweight division is in a limbo right now. You have Stipe Miocic, who the UFC does not want to push, who believe it, he's not marketable. You have Fabricio Verdum, he won, and he's in some controversy. Cain Velasquez, he's too healthy. He can never be healthy enough. Then you have Overeem, who probably, if you would have gotten by Francis Nagano, he probably would have had this title shot again. But now you have this fresh contender, and who is a knockout artist. And Stipe Miocic is a knockout artist in itself. And that's going to be two bulls going against each other. I could see that happening at some point down the road. And it will happen down the road. And Stipe will have his hands full then. I thought he had his hands full against Overeem or against Verdun, which jiu-jitsu. But we'll see. He'll be tested. You know, Miocic, if I was Miocic, I'd see if I could take him down and really test his test his jiu-jitsu. See if he could work from the bottom, work from his back, make him struggle, you know, grind it out, make him grind out a win. Because let's face it, if he goes toes to toe, I don't know. Francis has this amazing knockout power. And to knock out a guy like Overeem, I mean, not just that he just like, oh, he tapped him and he's hurt. He KO'd him. He was out. He was out. So I would love to see what happens down the road with that. Also, in the main event, Max Holloway and his son dabbing in the background. They were dabbing afterwards. I can't stand the dab, but I love Max Holloway. He beat Jose Aldo in the third round via TKO, via ground and pound. This is a fight I was going in and out. I'll be honest, I was falling asleep. Not because the fights were boring, because I just had a long week. I worked 5 days, of course, over 35 hours as always. You know, never work any less. And then plus I volunteered a 6 day somewhere else, and it was just crazy. Check out the fight metrics. Holloway outlanded him in the second fight, 181 to 89. And then in the first fight, Holloway outlanded him 104 to 55. One of the things Holloway did do, whether it's jab or did a great job of keeping Aldo this distance. You know, Aldo has amazing power. If you get him at his, I guess, green zone, however, I don't know, like in baseball, you have the green zone, like their preference. You know, some people like to, are good from outside the pocket. Some people are good, you know, in the pocket. Some people are good up close. Some people are good on the ground. And then Jose Aldo, he was not in his wheelhouse, and he did a good job of that. In the third round, the mind games began, as always, him talking smack in the middle of the octagon, and he took advantage of that. Aldo, just like what Connor did, was he broke him down mentally, which eventually transitioned physically. It'll wear you out mentally to go through that, and eventually transitioned into the physical aspect of it, and that's what happened with Max Holloway. Now, what's next for Holloway? I don't know. I mean, I could see Holloway McGregor too, but of course McGregor, you know, he doesn't have to fight him, and McGregor, he's made $100-150 million, so he doesn't need to fight another fight ever again. Never ever again. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Conor McGregor. You know, he is theoretically the 155 champion, right? With the lightweight champion. Of course, you have Whittaker, I believe, who's the one. Is he the 155 champion? No, Whittaker's not the 155. Whittaker is the 185. Who am I? Oh man, I can't even keep track of these champions. Oh man. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, you have Tyron Woodley, who's a 170, right? You have GSP's a 185, but now he's messed up, right? It's just crazy. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Max Holloway's next fight, you know? It's just interesting, you know? Then Eddie Alvarez defeats Justin G. Knee to the head, and then ground and pound. And that was a great fight. What I like about Eddie Alvarez, straight up from Philadelphia, that Rocky style, that, hey, I'll get hit. I'll sacrifice a hit so I can hit back. I love it. It was a great fight. Alvarez, you know, he won round one, won round two. Yet Justin did a good job adjusting to his boxing, adjusting to takedowns, but it just was not enough. Eddie Alvarez was the victor in that particular bout. Speaking of GSP, he's suffered from colitis. I don't think it's curable, but I know it's treatable. So GSP, I wish you a speedy recovery, and hopefully when you come back, you could unify that championship against Whittaker at 185. Sorry about that. There you go. And DC is the the belt has been returned to him because of what Bone Jones took in his body, and which is not fair, but that's me. And that is that. That is that. So those were the three main fights last night. A couple of other interesting fights that I saw. A couple of fights that I saw that were interesting was, of course, everyone, the internet was going crazy with the wardrobe malfunction of, I can't even find her name. what is her wardrobe malfunction? Angela Magana. Yes, she was the one that was talking smack to, she was talking smack to someone, Cyborg or someone, when during they had their whole conference, and she went from beloved to hated, and she got her butt kicked by Amanda Cooper, whether her bra came off or not, whether she saw her nipple or not, people, it doesn't matter. What matters is Amanda ABC did really well, and Angela Magana, who's a veteran in women's MMA, but just has fallen by the wayside. You know, look at the strikes in her matchup. 131 out of 184. Wow. It's a 17 out of 38. Total strikes 71% to 44%. Significant strikes 40 to 12. Significant strikes 66% to 38%. One takedown against zero. And then one submission attempt by ABC. So she just destroyed her. Destroyed her. In the preliminary fights, from what I saw, Felice Herring, she won her fourth straight. So, you know, kudos to her. Kudos to her. As far as her being able to overcome that. You know, I know she had some issues mentally, and I'm happy to hear that she overcame that, and she won a split decision win over Courtney Case, and I get that, definitely see a conversation with her at some point down the line for an opportunity at Rose Namajunas. I think that'll be a great fight. Why not? You have Dave and Tamor, who beat Dracar Close. Alex Oliveira lost to Yancy Medeiros. That was a great, wow. That was an amazing fight. And then you have Paul Felder beat Charles Oliveira. And then the main card, we saw Tesha Torres, who continues to be in a nice little tear, who beat Michelle Waterson, the Karate Hottie, the one everyone seems to love. And, oh, she's attractive. Oh, she's a great mom, this and that. But Tesha Torres has done a great job and pulled together another impressive win by Tesha Torres. Look at it. Look at the total strikes. 154 to 238 to 66 to 48, 64 to 44. You know, Tesha Torres continues to be in that conversation. I'm not saying she should be the next person to fight Rose Namajunas, but if she continues to win, you definitely got to take her very, very serious, the Puerto Rican Tesha Torres. And then, of course, we just discussed, one match that we did not discuss was Henry Cejudo, who defeated Sergio Perez via unanimous decision. The messenger, Henry Cejudo, the Olympian. No knockdowns, of course. Come on. He's an Olympian. So his takedowns, 3-5, 60%, which makes him 60%. Significant strikes, 43 to 25%. His total strikes is 85 for 148 or 57%, as opposed to 38 over 112 or 33%. It was a great fight. Henry Cejudo, that's great for him because he needs it. For him, and what I like about now, he has options. Henry Cejudo has options. You know, what happens to him from here? I don't know. I don't know what happens. You know, he obviously, you know, lost to Demetrius Johnson, right? That I remember. But, you know, what happens? You know, I believe they want to do TJ Dillashaw, Mighty Mouse, but what happens after that? Like, who did he fight? You know, he was 0-2, right? He lost to Mighty Mouse. He lost to Benavidez. Benavidez is a beast. And then he beat Wilson Reese and he beat Sergio Pettis. I mean, you know, he has to put together an impressive streak. And it's all up to him. All up to him. If he wants to go up to bantamweight or stay at flyweight, it's all up to him. It is all up to him. So that was a great fight. So what happens next? I don't know. So now coming up next, you have, to end the year, you have Chris Cyborg going one-on-one against Holly Holm. This is the fight that we all wanted to see in the first place. Jermaine, the Ramdami, I don't know. She should have never won the championship anyway. Holly Holm, that was her title for, that was hers. And hey, she took care of business, Chris Cyborg, and winning the championship. And now we'll see what happens coming up at the end of the year. Conor McGregor was supposed to fight on that card December 30th, but that whole fiasco at Bellator 187, plus, as you saw this week, him not paying his parking ticket. One of his associates was killed by the Irish cartel. That guy has to be careful, man. He is living a fast life. He has to really be careful. He doesn't want to be on a Deadpool list of celebrities dead in 2018 if he continues to go at this rapid, crazy pace. But last night, as I mentioned on Instagram, it was a sleeper as far as a great card from Detroit Rock City. You had one title fight. Friday night, of course, you had a newly crowned women's flyweight champion. And live from Detroit, a star was born. If it wasn't born before, Francis Ngannou from Cameroon, he is the number one contender. And if he wins the championship of Stipe Miocic, a star could definitely be born. No disrespect to Stipe Miocic, but whether it's him, whether it's the UFC brass, for whatever reason, he's not been receiving that push. The UFC thought they had filled the void with GSP, but now GSP with colitis, you know, his timetable to return is uncertain. We don't even know if Whitaker could be awarded the full-time middleweight championship, which is sad. Because I really like GSP. I really like what he did as far as his return. You know, it's tough just to come back. Not just to come back, but to come back into MMA and to perform at a high level and beat a guy who's a well-known, well-respected, active in the MMA circuit in Michael Bisping. And to do that, that's very impressive. And I just want to wish GSP a speedy recovery. So I don't know. So MMA, similar to what my previous podcast, you know, needs a new face. You know, Ronda was that for a little bit. GSP was that for a little bit. Bone Jones was that for a little bit. Conor was that for a little bit. But now, you know, whether other endeavors or the law or whatever, for whatever reason, you know, the UFC needs a person to step up. You know, we thought CM Punk, Floyd, obviously it's not. If Brock Lesnar would have, you know, kept his nose clean and not test positive for a banned substance, I clearly could have seen Brock Lesnar, Stipe Miocic. That was an easy matchup to make. Very easy matchup to make. Similar to boxing. You know, you need that face. You need that one draw. That one draw is Conor, but he doesn't need to fight ever again. He has just made over $100+ million from his boxing fight against Floyd Mayweather. He could now he could fight De La Hoya, or he could fight Pacquiao. He could fight these stupid novelty fights. But you know what? People will pay to see Conor McGregor. So that was an excellent night of fights. I don't know. There's a, you know, maybe we can finally have Holloway and Edgar. That'll be the obvious choice for the welterweight. Not welterweight. Yeah, for the 145 belt. Sorry, I'm losing my. I drew a blank as far as that division. Featherweight. There you go. And of course, on the next super fight, you can clearly see is T.J. Dillashaw against Mighty Mouse. I think at this point, in order to save the sport to an extent, it's not that it needs saving, but in order for it to turn it around, you would have to put together a few super fights to attract both the casual fan and the hardcore fan. One of those super fights has to be Mighty Mouse against TJ Dillashaw. The Cyborg, Holly Holm is a great matchup. We'll see. Ronda, I don't think is coming back. It's clear that she's going to fight in professional wrestling. But now, who's going to take her void in her division? Is it going to be Bullet Valentina? Very attractive. Could very easily be marketable. We'll see what happens there. And on the men's side, if Conor moves on, is it going to be Max Holloway? Is it going to be Tyron Woodley? Is it going to be Stipe Miocic? I don't see any of those guys being the guy, being, let's say, the John Cena of the UFC as far as being the face of the UFC and being a household name for the UFC to step up when they need him. I don't know. I just don't see it. And that's the $65 million question. I'll leave it on that note. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Take care, people. Let's go Holloway. And still.